from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Thanks to the Grand Hotel for sponsoring our happy hour, 30 minutes of nonstop talk. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Dr. Wilfred Riley, he is the author of the book Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. It's brand new. It's excellent. He's also on X at Will_Da_B630. Hello, Professor. How are you?
Hello. Good to be back on the show. I'm doing pretty well.
How's the book going?
The book's doing well. It was conservative books, for whatever reason, tend to like just miss the bestseller list. So it's right around there. It's number 4 in its category on Amazon. And I mean, people seem to be liking it. We've sold thousands of them so far. The book is, as you mentioned, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. Obviously, I'd love it if people went out wherever fine books are sold and bought that. But it's going pretty well. Pretty well reviewed so far as well.
Good. Excellent. Congratulations. I think it's really important. And you have a piece at National Review, American History Has Been Captured by the Left, Not the Right. And it's adapted from your book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, with permission from Broadside Books. But I think it really comes to something we've talked about on this show ever since you really started coming onto the show, which is that, you know, American history, so much of it is they always say history is taught by the victors. But in our case now, history is really taught by the teachers. And so many of them are liberals, or although not really classical liberals, they're more illiberal than anything else, right?
Yeah, that's actually a really good line that I might steal. Like, we hear that history is taught by the victors, but in fact, it's taught by the teachers. Yeah, it's taught by these, you know,
You're
mundane
welcome,
in most
way.
Cases.
Feel free,
boom.
Steal
yeah,
it.
Thank
you got
you.
It. Yeah. Happy to do
good
it. Happy
stuff.
To help.
But no, I mean, but like the teachers, there's a specific group of people. I mean, it's mostly female. Not there's anything wrong with that. Mostly sort of middle class, white and African American women, age 40, political liberals in general. I mean, we've all seen who the American Federation of Teachers, National Education Association, give to. It's about 96%, kind of Bill Clinton center-left candidates. So the people teaching history in society aren't the victors in the sense that there are generals. You don't have Mad Dog Mattis in there in a high school civics classroom. they're people who've expressed an interest to the left-leaning union in teaching high school civics. And that's a point that's rarely made, and that actually gets into one of the reasons I wrote the book. So, like, when I pitch Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, one of the things I'll always do is contrast it with this whole genre of books that are out there. I mean, there's Lies My Teacher Told Me, which is the famous book from Jay Lowen. I mean, there's, you know, the old Commie Howard Zinn, as I put it, People's History of America, so on. Like, there's 8 or 9 of these, really. 16, 19 Project just wrote a book. Ibram Kendi just wrote a book. And the pitch of all of those is, one, the West, America, Britain, so on, is the worst culture in human history. And two, you are learning something new and innovative that's breaking you away from your right-wing programming and Fox News and so on by hearing this from us, the anointed, the elect. And what I say in this book is, first of all, Western culture is the best culture in human history if we're going to act like, you know, 16-year-old kids and rank every one of them going back to ancient Mayans or whatever. We have the most rights for women and so on. But also, too, like, the idea that challenging our society is something brave and revolutionary hasn't been true since at least the time when Martin Luther King was alive. If you go into an American high school or college, all of the professors are Democrats or Marxists or at least moderate liberals. So I'm saying that these people now are teaching people a lot of things that just aren't true. And I mean, the book goes through them. You know, Native Americans weren't especially peaceful. There were a lot of communists running around during the 1950s Red Scare. We didn't just panic for no reason, led by evil Joe McCarthy. Slavery wasn't invented by the United States of America. It's kind of one of the oldest human vices. One of the first 20 human words is slave. So just a lot of that is outlined in the book.
Good. It's important, though, too, to think about the sense of how our children view America going forward, because part of the idea behind a lot of these people, Howard Zinn and Ibram Kendi and the 1619 Project, is, and we've talked about this before, you and I, is really an idea that they want to revolutionize America. I mean, it's not just so much that they want to teach it through their for bragging rights, but they have an ultimate objective here, do they not?
Yeah, I mean, so in political science, we would call this an instrumental philosophy. Like, so you're not talking about pure theoretical physics or even pure theoretical political science with a lot of this stuff. Like, the goal of the 1619 Project, which I talk about pretty extensively in Lies, is very much to get people to link historical American triumphs to slavery. So, like, why do we Americans have a very good but overly sugary diet? There's a 1619 Project essay in the original series of the New York Times Magazine that claims that's because the slaves grew a lot of sugarcane. That's actually really debatable, by the way. It's because of farm subsidies to corn farmers. Like, most sugar is high fructose corn syrup. I'm nerdy enough to actually look this up. But the point is, like, whether it's true or not, everything's debatable. The goal is that you associate the most mundane aspects of your life with, like, brutality toward black people or the, quote-unquote, domestic labor of women or the wars against the Native Americans or something. Like, another one of the essays claims that traffic congestion is worse in the South because cities used to be segregated. So, like, you know, white and black fighting men would build walls between neighborhoods, and that's why it takes a while to drive around these cities. Again, that's complete BS. It turns out traffic's worse in California, but whatever. The goal of this is that we will think that everything in society is linked to, again, racism, sexism, so on. What does that imply? Well, it implies you need to change society. And I think this is very important. Like, the logical implication of that, unless you're completely amoral jackass, is that we need to get rid of, we need to change the diet. We need to redesign the city so that black people specifically are living in better neighborhoods. And we need to do more serious, higher scale things, like reparations is the next item on the table.
Reparations paid for by people who never owned slaves and given to people who never were slaves.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that in a lot of these states that are giving them, I don't know, I hate to put it this way, they're paid mostly by Mexicans. I mean, like in California, you got a 34% Hispanic population, and they do as well financially as anybody else. So there is a make it make sense element to this. Like, in practice, and this is, I think, important for a lot of the listening audience, like, in practice, nobody wants to feel like a racist or a sexist. But if you take a lot of these left-wing claims and you just unpack them and you say, okay, was slavery especially bad in the United States? You don't find that that's true. Even if you try to get down to the root of whether reparations are owed, which is bluntly, are black Americans worse off than we would be if we'd lost the old wars back in Africa and then remained as there rather than coming to the USA? I mean, that's a tough, crude question, but if you ask that, the answer is pretty obviously no. So you then have to work out what the harm is. Like, the slaves obviously still suffered. It sucks to be a slave anywhere. But what harm did the descendants of slaves experience because their ancestors were brought here during a military conflict rather than being left somewhere else during a military conflict? That's kind of practical question you have to actually ask. And when you ask those things, a lot of the mainstream left-wing framework falls apart. It's not actually extraordinarily intelligent. It's not extraordinarily coherent. It's sustained by the assumption that people want to be polite and they won't ask, one. And it's sustained by extreme prevalence in the institutions, too. So, I mean, when I say that 80% of secondary school teachers are female and lean a bit to the left, or 93% of college professors are on the left side of the political fence, I mean, that's verifiable knowledge. The second figure comes from a recent article in Quillit. No one cares about your DEI training certificate, but I was actually one of the contributors to. But where people actually looked at the breakdown of academics by field. So that's stuff we know. But the arguments themselves are not that great.
Now, let me ask you this question. Was Lincoln gay? Because I saw you tweeted about this.
Oh, this upcoming
documentary that's coming out. And it's one of those things where, again, the people who are behind this clearly have an agenda. But what they don't seem to have is any actual evidence that Lincoln was gay. But yet, let's not let that stop them, right?
Well, no, Lincoln wasn't gay. I mean, Lincoln and Mary Todd wrote some famously spicy letters to each other that you can look at if that's your thing. Lincoln had, I think, four boys. I mean, at very least, if he liked heterosexual sex a lot and had four kids, I mean, it's up to you to prove he was, I guess. No, Honest Abe, not gay. Like, I think that it's very, very obvious that Abraham Lincoln, who was a 6'6 rail-splitting lawyer from Illinois by way of Kentucky, like 8 or 9 states claim him. But, I mean, he loved his wife. He was killed at a night at the theater with his wife. I mean, no, he was not homosexual. There's not necessarily anything wrong with being gay, but that's not a label that anyone attached to Big Abe until pretty recently. And again, my take would be that the question of why people are trying this is much more interesting than the question of was Lincoln gay. The only possible answers to that are no, he wasn't at all, or he had one bisexual experience early in his life. I don't think that's true. There's no evidence of that. But certainly Lincoln didn't carry on gay relationships. He wasn't openly gay. He didn't have gay lovers. I mean, so the question is, why are people trying to say that? And the answer is because, again, there's an instrumentality to this. Like, you want to redefine the past so that the things that are current in the present and the things that are involved on one side of the culture war can be made to seem as though they were always common, always natural, but just repressed. And there's a debt owed for that repression. In reality, you know, 2% or so of males are gay. I'm sure that's been true throughout the ages. But you can't just take a random selection of the most prominent people in society and say they were gay on the basis of rumors from political enemies and so on. There's an obvious reason people are doing that. And quick final line here, like, you see this a lot with the trans debate as well. We're like, we now know that what the Vikings called shield maidens, like woman warriors, were rare, but they existed. So we've started finding graves in Norway and Finland and so on, where there are people that are visibly female, because you can tell from a human skeleton whether someone's male or female after death, by the way. But they're visibly female, but they were buried with an axe, for example, or a sword, or like what are called tally marks, indicating the number of enemies they'd killed. And the obvious conclusion was just these were female fighters, like 4 or 5% of U.S. Marines are female, and the Vikings probably had the same number of women on their warships. The chief's wife or something. What activists are now saying is, no, those women were trans. Like, they might have been biologically female, but they identified as men, and that's why they were accepted by the Viking, by the males in that society. So, like, everything in the past is being reviewed through the lens of this stuff that's going on right now, often in a really stupid way.
That is crazy. One point on Lincoln, though, you did say he was shot at a theater, and we all know that only gay guys go to theaters. So,
well, your wife can drag you to a theater. As I recall, he was with the wife. I mean, that's acceptable. That's a theater going.
Fair. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Dr. Wilfred Riley's my guest, the author of the book Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, and he's here. And just for the record, I like the theater. I'm just going to say, you know, for the record, some shows, not all shows, typically not, but, you know, but mostly I get dragged by my wife. Just saying, you know, we try to be in the sports games contests and whatnot.
Sports games contest.
Speaking of women who are involved in athletic activities, you saw that the House voted to overturn Biden's Title IX rewrite, and no Democrats voted for it. I mean, again, politically speaking, it seems to me to be so obvious that defending women and defending women in sports, considering that there's more of them than there are of trans, like even if you just leave everything else aside and just use simple math here, there's a whole lot more women who feel threatened and want to have safe spaces than there are biological men who are trying to get into those spaces. So why, politically speaking, this seems like a no-brainer to me to just say, no, we're going to protect women and protect women's sports and protect women's locker rooms and protect women's sorority houses.
Well, the problem there is kind of women. Women lean considerably to the left of men, and so support for trans-identifying individuals is found almost entirely among women, unless you're talking about academic scientists or something. And so that whole question of, like, women have more empathy than men, is that good or bad? It depends what you're talking about. Like, if it comes to raising children or adopting puppies or something, it's great. Solo dads don't do that wonderful of a job very often. They try hard. When it comes to war, it's less good. And in politics, it's a mixed bag. So the reason that the Democrats have had a lot of problems pressing forward against the crazier trans stuff, the Republicans are just doing it despite potential backlash, is that a lot of the Democratic constituency has gotten really used to this idea of the more oppressed group is always right. So ironically, what trans-identifying people have been able to say is, look, we're not just men. We're not just big white and black guys in dresses. You know, no, we're people who have the ultimate form of oppression. Like, we were born with an oppressed woman's brain in a man's body, and now we're just struggling to exist through all this hate and this mockery. So something like 78% of Democratic women actually support including trans women in sports. That's their problem.
No, that's not good. That's not good at all. They should not be for that. Come on, what are they doing here? I figured they'd want to protect their little girls who are working so hard to play these various sports, and you'd think they'd be on their side.
No, and I mean, I think this is very important, actually. Like, I've gotten accused of some kind of men's rights takes online for pointing this out, but, like, men and women have very different strengths. Historically, men were generally the warriors, most of the leaders. Women were the diplomats, manage the home and the money, which guys aren't famously great with, so on down the line, they're complimenting one another, almost as if nature or the gods intended it that way. But the one of the female weaknesses, just like the male weakness is cruelty, on average, not for everyone, is excessive empathy, which can reach the pathological, which can become Munchausen and so on down the line. That's something I've been told off the record by every psychologist I've ever talked to about this topic. So when you look at a lot of the movements on the hard left, a surprising thing is that a lot of them are driven by upper middle class women that are and minorities that are going to be directly hurt by them. Like, the ultimate example would be mass immigration of young men. So, like, if you look at white males, or for that matter, African-American males, and just ask guys, what do you think about this? Should we close the border? It's literally like 80% yes. Like, what are we doing? We're just bringing in competitors. If you ask women who tend to be the victims of sex crimes, domestic violence, so on down the line, it's much closer to 50-50, and I think it's over 50-50 in favor of an open border and our asylum policy. So that idea of being kind, being nice, you are the caring partner for the children, so on, that can be manipulated by bad people and have devastating social outcomes. And I think over the past 100 years or so, 50 years, we've gotten so used to focusing on toxic masculinity that we've kind of forgotten this. And that's a huge part of the Democratic coalition. It's unmarried, college-educated women, members of fairly successful minority groups, Asians and American blacks, Arabs and so on, that nonetheless feel oppressed. It's all of these people that are applying a very empathic lens to politics. And that's how you get crazy takes, like the USA and Israel should be feeding Palestine during a war. That's a real thing. We built an aid pier. They're sending rice over there. I mean, like, it's you understand that no one ever wants a child to die and so on, but these extremes of kindness, I think, can be as dangerous as extremes of aggression.
We spent $230 million on a pier that's basically floating out to sea. What an absolute waste of money.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't really believe, like, I mean, I have a lot of friends that are in the military still now at captain or light bird ranks and so on. And I mean, the strong impression I would get is that when we say we spent $500 million on something, we often mean we spent $15 million on it and transferred a lot of the rest to the spy services, which I don't really have that much of a problem with. I'm pretty sure, like, the CBs know how to put together a wood pier that costs less than $300 million. But in terms of the hit on the taxpayer, you're absolutely right. That's what it costs. And, yeah, apparently the Persian Gulf or the Mediterranean Sea, it's almost an ocean. They're pretty high waves that we didn't plan for or something. So we built this pier to deliver food aid to Gaza, which, again, is crazy because they're fighting our closest ally in a war. And the pier washed away. So now the pier is, like, bobbing in the ocean, and we're trying to reattach it to the shore so we can give free food to our enemies. So there's a lot going on in that picture.
You know, I'm sure if you were to ask women, too, and I mean, again, you know, just since you brought it up, do they probably, versus men, favor a higher minimum wage, or does that kind of break neutral?
No, it's like any empathic issue breaks very, very heavily in favor of women supporting the thing that is kind but has potentially socially negative impact. So higher minimum wage, because so many guys have entry-level construction jobs and so on, there's some comparison. But no, women are more in support of that. As I recall, for every crime except sexual assault, women are more in support of giving criminals additional chances, letting them out. And to some extent, this doesn't surprise anyone. Like, if you're sitting in a bar, do you hear someone say, hell is it, just hang him? You know, the odds of that being a guy over 30 are pretty high. Mm-hmm. So that translates into politics as well. Like, women in general are much more part of the Democratic coalition than men. The one exception to this is married white women who broke 53% for Trump. Young people tend to be much more part of the Democratic coalition. Like, until you really make your own money and you start getting taxed at 35% plus state, local, municipal payroll, you know, it's much easier to support a socialized society. Minorities tend to break for the Democratic coalition, but, like, a driving force for a lot of that is the idea of empathy. Like, how can we say no to our fellow human beings kind of thing?
And then even if you find out, like, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal, I'm sure you probably saw it, Rise of the Restaurant Robots, Chipotle, Sweetgreen, and others bet on automation. They're now experimenting with machine helpers like Flippy, Chippy, and Autocado as they face increasing labor costs. I mean, you know, it's like you look at Flippy. This and you go, Flippy, yeah, Flippy, he's a burger flipper. Flippy.
Yeah, I figured that much would be.
Yeah, and Chippy Chippy makes tortilla chips. Chipotle has Chippy and Autocado to cut, core, and peel avocados before humans mash them into guacamole. I mean, you look at what's happening and you go, maybe $25 an hour minimum wage is only going to lead to Chippy getting more of the work and human beings getting less of that. So maybe we should look at this policy rationally and not emotionally.
Yeah, I think you're going to see really big red state, blue state differences when it comes to this. In the fairly near future. I remember there's a comic book I used to read as a kid sometimes called something like Armored Warrior, but it's about a dystopian future. But one of the things about the comic was that society was broken up into these different regions that were very different. One of them was called something like Primiland, but it was basically where people just lived normal lifestyles. Like, there was a ban on thinking machines, so people had to farm themselves, and they did their own manual work and so on. In the cities, all the work was done by robots, so you had a few people that were rich, and then you had these giant, dangerous tenement slums that were called the Clay. We might be moving in that sort of split direction, where some states will say, no, you know, nothing that's not of God's creation here, like no thinking machines, no bioengineered animals, so on down the line, to the extent they can. And others will maximize the extent to which you can use those tools, and you can do things like raise the minimum wage. And you're really going to see some laboratories of democracy stuff. I mean, at a certain point, like when robots and AI get to a certain level, most jobs aren't going to be necessary.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried
about something that's something that, as an investor, I'm really aware of. Like right now, you know, I love my blue collar guys, half my friends, but I probably wouldn't put money into trucking or railroad, something like that.
Yeah.
Because like right now, driving a truck is the most common blue collar job for men. It's everyone listening to this has a couple friends that have CDLs. There's 6 million truckers out on the road, and you know they keep the country running right now. But there's going to be a point where Elon's going to put, you know, a neuron chip in or a dog or something. Or banter aside, there's just going to be a better self-driving, you know, front of the vehicle, and half of those jobs or more are going to go away. So at that point, we're going to have to either say we have to stop doing this. We're going to mandate that certain things have to be done by humans. And some of the European countries have already said this when it comes to making wine and so on. Or we're going to have to do something like UBI, where we give people money basically not to work.
Well, that they're hoping for that. I mean, that's kind of part of the great socialist revolution, right? You just you get a check, a living check, or whatever the hell they want to call it, check just for existing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the world, and I don't want to, like, drop 18, like, nerd academic references in a row, but, I mean, that's kind of the world in Star Trek, Star Wars, right? Like, the people have a basic stipend, Starship Troopers, as a citizen of the galaxy, so nobody starves. Now, in Star Trek and Starship Troopers...
You really sound nerdy actually, right now, just for the record. I'm just going to throw it out there.
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it, you know, that's part of me. I used to be a decent athlete, too. Now I'm comfortable with my nerdiness. But the point is, though, like, in a lot of these movies, which are based on, like, realistic human societies, like Sparta, Athens, Corinth, like, in one of them, you got a stipend, but to be a citizen, you had to fight in the military. Like, there are ways to balance this. But I guess what I'm saying is just that at a certain point of technological development, we'll be past scarcity. Nobody really has to work. Even today, I mean, in most states, you get additional welfare payments per kid. Clinton and Gingrich stopped that for a while. It's back. But up to, what, is it, 5 kids? I mean, I haven't been in that economic class for a while. But so you can just not do things. And at least right now, there's a booming job market. We're coming back from COVID, Republican president likely to come in. But if we go through 3 years of recession where we can subsidize everyone and there's just mass non-work, it's going to be really hard to shift from that back to work. You know, a couple cycles like that and an increase in robotics. And, yeah, you get UBI, which is just instead of funds being set aside so that there are, you know, there's Medicare, there's Medicaid, there's Social Security disability, the government could, to some extent, just cut everyone a check at the start of each month. And you could then buy your own services and live your own life without working. That was Andrew Yang's idea.
Right. Well, let's hope it doesn't come to fruition anytime soon. We'll leave it at that for today because we're out of time. But please get the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, by Dr. Wilfred Riley. It's an excellent read. You will love the insights that he provides. And remember, what do we say? History is not taught by the victors. It's taught by the teachers. You write that down, Dr. Riley.
That's right. Yeah, lies my liberal teacher told me, and that was a good line, which I plan to use. History is not taught by glorious generals or something. It's taught by the people that the victors put in charge of teaching it. That's really important.
Yeah, there you go. All right, my friend, have a great week, and we will chat with you again very soon. Lies my liberal teacher told me. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour.
Oh, you nailed it, Titanic. Look at you.
On the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Creepy Joe Biden just wrapped up an event in Michigan, and he started to ramble and got distracted. And I don't know if he sniffed her hair or not, but he went up to a girl and... Oof, this is cringeworthy. This just happened a few moments ago. We were monitoring Biden's Michigan event. Take a listen.
And I think when Debbie and I were this last 3 years, I think we made a lot of progress. We made a lot of progress. I remember everybody, hi, how are you? How old are you? Remember, no serious guys, you're 30. Okay? Told it to my daughter and granddaughter. It hadn't worked yet, but I'm working on it.
Ugh, it's creepy. It's freaking creepy. Did you tell that to your daughter, Hunter's daughter, your granddaughter, Hunter's daughter, by chance? Did you tell it to her? No, not so much, right? Also, let me, this Biden started rambling about being a full professor at the University of Pennsylvania. That's a total lie. He also regurgitated the Very Good People hoax, which we've debunked on this show so many times. Again, another lie. Cut one.
And so I decided I wasn't going to get engaged in public. I wasn't going to run again. I had been vice president. I was a professor, full professor at the University of Pennsylvania at the time. And what happened was that I was going to stay out of it. But then what happened was, remember down in Charlottesville, Virginia, when those folks came out of the woods carrying torches and Nazi banners and literally singing the same Nazi, anyway, same song sung in Germany in the 30s? And a young woman was killed who was a bystander. And that young woman I met, I talked to the mother. And the press contacted Trump and asked him, they said, well, what do you think? He said, there are very good people on both sides.
That's not true.
Very good people.
Not true.
And honest to God, that's when I decided to run. That's when I decided to run.
Not true, of course, he said, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists because they deserve to be condemned. That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's exactly what he said for the most part. Biden also lied about raising taxes as well. I'll get to that, but we have Dr. Victoria Coates joining us in a moment. I just want to mention another Democrat has come out and called for Joe Biden to step aside. These are not people now rallying to Joe Biden. You're just getting one after another who are coming out and saying Joe Biden has to go. It's not good. It's not good. It's not going in the other direction, even after his big press conference last night. And sniffy, creepy with, hey, how old are you? In the middle of it, getting distracted by as he's talking, getting distracted by a girl. Hey, how old are you? It's just friggin' creepy, man, is what it is. All right, listen. When it comes to wonderful support and sponsorship, we are so blessed to have the support of our friends at Cherry Hill Vavo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Go see them today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, Veneria Dental Doc. Now I'm sounding like Biden. The top story is brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. And the sponsor right now is Cherry Hill Vavo. It's still not as bad as calling Zelensky Putin, I'm just going to say for the record, but yeah, I've been on the radio since noon. Give me a break. I've been talking literally for 5.5 hours now with very minimal breaks because we don't seem to have a lot of spots today, Matt DeSantis, so.
I didn't. It's not my fault.
Right. I'm just saying something like
it's
that.
It's Friday. It's a Friday during the summer.
Whew. I'm telling you. Oh, one more time with Biden because then everybody will forget my little gaffe. Here's Biden just said I'm too old. Go ahead.
For the longest time, I was too young because I was the second youngest man ever elected to the United States Senate. And anyway, and now I'm too old.
Yeah, you are. Damn right you are. All right. So Dr. Mike Veneria brings us the top story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, the master of dental implants, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. And Cherry Hill Vavo, our studio sponsor, is having an amazing renovation extravaganza sale. This is a perfect time to go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Vavos are great cars, but the luxury experience you will get at Cherry Hill Vavo is what you deserve because Judith Krupnik and her team pride themselves on giving you that luxurious experience. I'll tell you something, too. When it comes to taking care of people, people have been going back to Cherry Hill Vavo for generations. My dermatologist, Dr. Green, he said he bought his sixth Vavo from Cherry Hill Vavo. For years he's been going there. And I asked him why. He said, because they're fantastic. They just take great care of you. So whether it's the S-Class made at their plant in South Carolina, or it is the XC90, that third row SUV that Bridget drives, or the XC60 that I drive, you're going to love driving one. And you'll love the experience. Now, because Cherry Hill Vavo is doing their renovation special, that means that they are doubling down on their already aggressive incentives and promotions. So there's never been a better time to get to Cherry Hill Vavo today for that beautiful Vavo that you've always wanted to drive. And they're safe, luxurious, all the latest bells and whistles. So the technology is great on these cars. And don't forget, the S-Class made at their plant in South Carolina. That's American jobs, baby. But always at Cherry Hill Vavo, our studio sponsor, where relationships matter.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Tyranny of low expectations. It's like telling the F student you're doing a great job for getting a D. We should be at 100%. But instead, Biden has no problem telling the American taxpayer to pay up for European defense. Instead of holding the Europeans fully accountable, you get a cheerleading session right here in Washington, D.C. And
Congressman Mike Waltz is going to be with us live at the Republican National Convention next week in Milwaukee. I'm really excited about that. Also very excited that the president of the Heritage Foundation himself, Kevin Roberts, is also going to be with us at the Republican National Committee next week. And Philadelphia's own Dr. Victoria Coates, I don't know if you're going to be there, but she'll certainly be there with us in spirit. She is the vice president of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. She is the one who is going to make you her personal handmaid as part of Project 2025, Dr. Victoria Coates. I may have exaggerated about the last one.
It's actually quite extraordinary what folks are saying about Project 2025. I read with amazement every day our incredibly sinister plans that we're about to implement under a future Trump administration. And no, I unfortunately, I can't go to Milwaukee. I'm crashing on a book deadline of July 26th. But yes, Kevin will be there and all of your other Heritage friends. And I know they're all excited to see you guys and stop by Radio Row.
Good. I'm glad, too. Yeah, I mean, Dr. Evil himself could not have conjured up the plans of Project 2025, according to the left. I mean, literally, we are going to have sharks with freaking laser beams, finally.
I mean, I wish, but we're a think tank. I keep saying to people, what do you think we're doing? Like, we write policy papers and publish books, and they're published. There's nothing behind the scenes about this. So it's really been, I think it shows you how desperate, actually, the Biden administration is to find something to demonize, you know, and they're going to go after, you know, a think tank transition plan.
Yeah, well said. So when President Biden was with President Putin at NATO and all the other NATO members, I kept thinking, you know, there's a lot of deadbeats here. And then I read how Trudeau in Canada, he's like the biggest deadbeat of all of them when it comes to paying the NATO bill.
He is. And I was interested to hear Congressman Waltz's little clip in the lead-in, because he's worked very closely with us on NATO issues. And he is, you know, a conservative hawk. He's probably a little bit more on the interventionist side than most of us at Heritage are. But we agree on a lot of things. And one of them is that, you know, the NATO members have to care as much about their defense as the United States does. And Canada is outrageous. They're at 1.38% of GDP. And that is a meaningful number because Canada is the world's 10th largest economy. So this isn't some tiny little, you know, Baltic country of 2 million people, which is doing the Lord's work at 5% of GDP, but it's still just not a very large number given their scale. This is a huge economy that's shirking its responsibilities. And, you know, Trudeau came out this week and talked a lot about how, you know, climate is the existential threat that's facing us, and that Canada is investing so much in clean energy projects, and that really makes up for their defense lack. Well, I don't think a future President Trump is going to buy that line.
I hope not. Of course, Biden's still telling the lie that Trump wants to eliminate NATO, which is an absolute lie. He wants, and that he told Putin he could do whatever he wanted. I mean, there were so many lies spewed at that press conference yesterday. It was hard to hear exactly what his vice president was planning to do, Vice President Trump. But nevertheless, Dr. Coates, it seems to me like what President Trump wants, he would never be Joe Biden's vice president, just for the record. What he wants to do is make NATO pay their fair share. I think Europe should be paying its fair share. I mean, I think that's just very obvious at this point.
No, this is what we've been saying, you know, for many years, but particularly for the 2.5 years since the invasion of Ukraine, is that this has to be a European-led response. And we cannot care more than Europe does. And I actually had lunch with the president of Finland today, who, you know, is a new member of NATO. They're doing great things on defense. They're also doing great things on border security, because they've got a long border with Russia that Putin is trying to weaponize. They want to partner with us on border security if we ever decide that's a priority again. And, you know, that's the kind of ally we have. And they hear us when we say, you know, we're going to be tapped in the Middle East. We're going to be tapped in Asia. We need you guys to lean forward. And they say, yes, we will. You know, we will partner with you on, defense industrial base issues. We will, you know, lean forward in Europe and take the lead on this, because you can't be everywhere at once. And that's just, you know, reality for most people. But to hear, you know, the Biden folks say it, we just have to keep shoveling money at Europe regardless of what they do.
By the way, I had breakfast this morning with the Prime Minister of Australia. No joke.
A little name dropping, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. It's very impressive. Who was the Prime Minister that was the attractive woman who was dancing and got into all the controversy?
She was I think she was Denmark.
Denmark. Yeah, I had dinner with her last night.
I'm not going to tell Mrs. Eoli that.
No, don't tell Bridget. It's a thing. You know, just let me go with it for a second. Now, the other thing, too, about the state of the world right now with all of this that I think is just incredible is that Biden's standing up there last night and he's telling everybody he's good. Santa Marin, thank you. You think I would remember her name at the set, as after all that, right? That just goes to show you, I really did not have dinner with her, obviously. So Biden's standing up there, and he's telling everybody that he just needs a lighter schedule. As he's standing there doing a NATO, I'm thinking, you know, between that and the debate, here are the bad guys in the world watching all this and thinking to themselves, is this guy for real? And then there's a story today in Bloomberg about how the nuclear football, if it ever got stolen, only the president can launch nuclear weapons. And I didn't feel any better by that because I keep thinking that, yeah, only Biden can launch nuclear weapons. The 3 a.m. phone call, which Hillary Clinton made into a thing back in the campaign in 2008, there's a lot of people wondering right now. But I got to wonder what our enemies are wondering as they watch Biden ramble on up there and talk about how he needs to be in bed earlier.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks, because it's been a while since we chatted, but since the debate, have just been shocking from a national security perspective. And there are a couple of different angles. I was in Morocco when the debate happened, and, you know, we woke up and started talking, going through our day of official meetings, and everyone just kept asking us, you know, is this real? You know, can we, what do we do? How do we function for the next 4 or 5 months? And it's, you know, so our partners and allies are in a panic. And I would say, you know, you've seen increased meetings between Xi and Putin. You've seen Prime Minister Modi of India going and talking to Putin, which is something, you know, I don't think a President Trump would smile upon. He would, you know, get in touch with Modi and say, look, you need to come to Washington and see me, not go see Putin. And, you know, that's what friends do. But right now, people are trying to hedge their bets because the dysfunction in the White House is so bad. And, you know, when this went down last night, when he called President Zelensky President Putin, I was with a crowd of diplomats, and everybody's phone went off, and everybody said, is this real? You know, can this be happening? And so, you know, we, just as Americans, this shouldn't be a partisan thing, and this shouldn't be a political thing. I know that the Trump people would like to run against President Biden, and I don't blame them from that politically, but from a security angle, we've got to get this out of the White House. I mean, it's terrible, and it's dangerous.
So the report that came out, Dr. Victoria Coates, that NATO members are expressing concern about Biden's condition, you think that's accurate?
100%. They all are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've seen it. They've seen it up close and personal.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's funny because I've had a lot of people listening to the show and have tweeted me and called the show and said, forget the election, because I'm with the Trump people. I'm like, I want Biden 24, baby. They're like, you need to think about the country. And I have to wonder then, with all these Democrats coming out and saying this and saying these comments and he's got to go, it was a great point that was made today, which is if you don't think Biden has the mental capacity to be able to run, does he have the mental capacity to be president of the United States right now, considering how high the stakes are? He mentioned China last night. What did you make of his comments regarding China and how he and Xi, no one's ever spent more time with Xi Jinping than him, and he's got all his notes. I don't even know what he was talking about, but what did you make of all that?
Well, to paraphrase President Trump, I don't know that he knew what he was talking about either. But now I think, you know, sure, you know, maybe over time as a senator and a vice president, he has spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping, but it certainly hasn't done any good in terms of either developing the relationship, implementing a China strategy, getting China to modify its behavior. And right now we're kind of in the worst of all possible worlds. You know, Henry Kissinger, who did many interesting things, but one thing he said I thought that was quite wise, and it was in the context of his outreach to China in the early 70s, was that he saw three major powers in the world, China, Russia, and the United States, and that it should be the job of the United States to prevent it from being 2-1. And what Biden oversaw in the first, you know, 18 months of his presidency was this partnership without limits between China and Russia that was established around the Beijing Olympics in February of 2022. So that happened in the wake of Afghanistan. Nobody in the United States said boo about the fact that they were forming this relationship, and now it's a huge problem for us. And so, you know, he can spend as much time as he wants with Chairman Xi, but it doesn't seem to be resulting in concrete you know, strategic advantages for the United States, the way I would say President Trump's policies did.
Let's talk about Iran for a moment, if we could. And by the way, I was talking about pizza last night with Prime Minister Maloney, and she agrees pineapple on a pizza is a disgrazia. So she's with me on that. So I appreciate that.
She's great.
Did she really roll her eyes as Biden is late to the NATO summit? Is that a true story, too?
I don't know. I mean, the pictures are there.
Yeah,
I wasn't there. So, but she doesn't really deal with nonsense very well.
That doesn't sound like it. I think she's fantastic. So Iranian government actors are seeking to take advantage of pro-Palestinian protests in the DNI, according to the DNI. And then the other question is the pier, the $270 million pier that floated out to sea. What's going on? What's the latest with the Middle East?
Yeah, these are two interrelated things. So the Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines, put out an official statement this week saying that Iran is taking advantage of and funding anti-Semitic pro-Hamas demonstrations in the United States. So all these things we've all seen on the campuses, who paid for all those green tents? Well, apparently the Iranians have been paying for them because they see this as part and parcel of what they initiated on October 7th, which is a broader war on Israel. And they want to divide the United States and Israel because that alliance is a big problem for them in the region. And they want the United States to know that they have all of these actors in our country, on our streets, on our campuses, teaching our children in college, and that they're not even really trying to hide this, and how bad it must be to have Avril put out this statement, because you know the Biden folk don't want to do this. They still have hopes of a second term when they'll get back into a nuclear deal. They don't want to do anything to provoke the Iranians. So how awful this evidence must be for them to actually put out this statement is kind of amazing. And I got it texted to me by a bunch of FBI friends who were like, yeah, this is real. They're here. They're doing this. And so all of your listeners should see this as part and parcel of what started on October 7th. And the Biden response, which was this crazy pier they decided to install out on near Gaza, which we had to float across the Atlantic. One of my military friends described to me how awful it was and how slowly they had to go to get this wretched thing across the ocean into the Mediterranean and then down around to Gaza. It's been operational for maybe 9 days. Nothing really has come through. They're going to put it back together one more time and unload some stuff from Cyprus. But it's emblematic of this failed policies. It's hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent on something completely useless. It's a show. It's theater. And it hasn't done any good for anybody in Gaza.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Victoria Coates. We look forward to talking to you again, and have a wonderful weekend, and go Phils. I mean, we swept the Dodgers, which made me happy because I know that my son was watching. His cousins are all Dodgers fans because my father-in-law is. So that was a big win for us.
No, that was an amazing week in sport. And you guys have a wonderful time in Milwaukee. Stay safe.
Thank you, doctor. Appreciate it.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, listen, Emmons Roofing, and the question I have for you, Emmons Roofing and Siding, is would you like to save 10% off all of the projects that they do, roofing, siding, windows, doors? Yes, you would, of course. So trust the team at Emmons. I am so happy with the great work that they do. They're fantastic. They really are. And 10% off for each and every one of my listeners is an inflation relief discount. Matt and Stephanie are great friends of mine personally, great friends of the show. And they're going to make sure that you're happy with the work that's done. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So just go to emmonsroofing.com. It's E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. 10% off the Owens Corning roof, the best in the business shingle, lifetime warranty on that roof. Same roof we had in our old house when they replaced it. I've been using Emmons for 7 years. So our previous home and our new home, too, they've replaced some skylights for us and some doors. The doors are great. The Anderson window replacement and the siding. You know, your home is going to have, you're going to have peace of mind for your home, better insulation, better curb appeal. Just all around, it's just a great way to improve the value of your home. And with 10% off for my listeners, you can't beat it. So trust the team that I have used for these past 7 years on two homes. That's EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.